Wake up weekday mornings, L.I. in the a.m. with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader, 103.9 L.I. News Radio.
And we are back. We're about to have a new sheriff in town. It could very well likely be my next guest. Talking about it, Errol Toulon Jr. He serves as director of Suffolk County Water Authority currently, and 25 years of public safety and security experience, attaining the positions of Deputy Commissioner of Operations for the New York City Department of Correction and Assistant Deputy County Executive for Public Safety in Suffolk County. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Jay.
Errol Toulon Jr. and Errol's name, you know, let's face it, was put into the race. We know what happened with State Senator Phil Boyle and everything else. How do you feel about that? The Toulon name now into this race. There was a lot of back and forth just a few weeks ago after the primary. There was a lot of confusion as far as, okay, who's taking this line, who's taking that line. When all this occurred, did you have a notion, Errol, that you could be the one that was designated to compete here?
No, I had no notion whatsoever. You know, I'm basing my run based on the experience, and that's what really interested me in going forward with this run for sheriff.
Interesting. Let's just deviate for a second here. You know, we woke up this morning to horrific events. You know, another mass shooting. It's unfortunate, but true. We're all too used to this type of stuff. This one being the largest encounter in U.S. history, though, as far as deadly shootings. I mean, what was the reaction as far as somebody who has been in enforcement for quite some time, as you have been? What was your reaction overall here?
You know, I know that the police department is still investigating. One of the things that I did when I was with the New York City Department of Correction was I taught, active shooter training, and not necessarily from a tactical intervention, but from a perspective of how do we keep ourselves safe if an active shooting was to occur, whether we're in a workplace or out visiting a movie theater, as we saw Holmes in rural
Colorado. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, it's a shame because we can't predict these things. We don't know when they're going to occur. You know, they occur from all genders, all races, all ages. And unfortunately, it's usually an unstable person.
Yeah, no question about it. And you mentioned a very key point there. How do you go about business when something like this occurs? Obviously, mass panic. That's what one thinks of. You know, where do you go? What do you do? Do you lay on the floor? Do you hide? I mean, what should one do as when a situation occurs?
You know, the three things that we teach is run, hide, or fight. So the first thing, of course, is to try and run and flee the affected area. The second one would be to hide if you can't. You know, protect yourself, barricade yourself inside of a room or wherever you may be. And then the third thing, if you're confronted with that active shooter, you have to fight to save your life.
Interesting. It's incredible stuff and really unfolding as we speak. You hope casualties will be limited to the number that we just heard, which is, you know, when we first heard the reports, it was, single digits. And now look where we are. We're over 50 here. So, and 200 wounded, and that number, unfortunately, could grow. A lot of people in critical condition. Give me a little bit of the Toulon file here. Give me an idea as far as how you kind of made your way into this position, what you did prior for the folks out there.
Sure. I was a New York City correction officer. I was appointed in 1982. Worked with the New York City Department of Correction for 22 years, retiring at the rank of captain. During that time, I worked in the emergency service unit, where I responded to hostage situations, barricades, riots, disturbances, escapes. I worked both days that our towers were attacked in Manhattan. And after retiring, I continued on my education, finishing my master's degree and doctorate in education.
And you're a Harvard guy, too, from what I read, right?
I attended Harvard's leadership. I was in Harvard's leadership programs. They had these one-week courses where you go up to Harvard, attend their leadership. So I was in their leadership program. And also worked for County Executive Steve Ballone. So really getting a good foundation understanding of the framework of Suffolk County, not only government, but also the various communities that are affected. Came back to New York City Department of Correction in July 2014 as the Deputy Commissioner of Operations, overseeing a multitude of units, including the Applicant Investigation Unit, more importantly, the Gang Unit, the Training Academy, Emergency Management, and a few others. And you know, had a great experience there. It really culminated a great experience for me and my family because for 55 years, my dad was a warden there for 36 years.
Oh, really?
Years,
wow.
And my brother was a deputy warden there for 33 years. So we have a great sense of history.
So you had a little bit of injection there as far as, you know, what? This could be something when you were younger that you would have. Was that the case when you were like, you see your father and everything else? Was that something that you felt you would aspire to at a very young age?
No, actually.
Into this area? No.
I was getting ready to enter the New York City Transit Police Department.
Okay.
At that time, they were three separate departments. And when I spoke to my father and said, which one should I go to? He said, at least you know who the bad guys are if you go to corrections. So
okay.
That's why I wound up there.
There you go. Good stuff there. So you mentioned, you know, the gangs and everything else. Obviously, as you look at the landscape here in Suffolk County, plagued by the gang situation over the last couple of years, MS-13, to kind of pinpoint here, I mean, what's your take? You know, we have had gang task forces and everything else way back in time. We had a little bit of a lull in the action, a gap. Thus, we saw kind of an increase in activity here. What's your take on this whole thing?
You know, I'm not in favor of task force. One of the things I was able to do when I was on Rikers Island is that we had a center where we had all law enforcement components throughout New York State. And in this, you can gain actionable intelligence by having an individual, a representative from a law enforcement agency, walk around from a cubicle or from an office to another office or cubicle and say, this is the intelligence we got regarding this, a particular individual, a particular group. And that information is now exchanged very quickly. Instead of extending an email or a phone call, you know, that intelligence is now moving very, very quickly through the pipeline, through various law enforcement jurisdictions. So I feel very confident in the things that we did, not only inside correction. One of the things that I'm most proud of with my gang unit was the fact that we were instrumental with the New York City Police Department in taking down 37 alleged gang members, which the Bronx District Attorney praised my unit for in a press release.
So in essence, what you're saying, so with a task force, could operations become sort of muddied in the water somewhat, or as you say, maybe as not a believer in that, better the other way? Does it become lost in translation somewhat by having an entire force present on the ground?
You know, I would have to see how the task force operated out here, but I do know when you have a group of individuals, law enforcement, that can meet daily in the morning and actually critique and talk about different things that are occurring in this jurisdiction, in their particular jurisdiction, and everybody's communicating on the same page, understanding what resources are available throughout the other law enforcement community, that I found to be extremely productive and cooperative. When you had the New York City Police Department, the New York State Department of Corrections, we had the New York City Department of Corrections. We also had the Suffolk Sheriff's Department out there with Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, and all of us in a room talking about what is going on with the population that we have to deal with.
And it's a very big topic. And we had on the other day the commissioner of the police department here in Suffolk County, Tim Sini, who mentioned a very key word, what you mentioned, and that was intelligence. Intelligence seems to be a very big word because information in relation to this category is huge to be passed on to individuals throughout, unless the arrest made, intelligence coming from a lot of different areas, but that seems to be kind of a key play in all of this stuff.
Well, when you break down even the word intelligence, what you really need is the analytics, and the analytics are going to pinpoint different trends that are occurring within the various communities that we're looking at. So it's very important to have a strong analytic unit and a group of individuals that can decipher and understand the various trends that are occurring. Because one of the things that I tried to do in New York City was also look at best practices. And when you look at best practices as far as gathering intelligence, training, equipment, technology, those are the things that are most important that's going to assist us in fighting crime and keeping the public safe. And that's the primary goal, is to keep our public safe.
We are talking here in studio with Errol Toulon Jr. He is vying for the Suffolk County Sheriff's post. Remember a post that was held for 12 years, Vince DeMarco, and a very important one indeed, besides the gang stuff, Errol. Obviously, the drug situation here in the county is a big-time area. Why? Because this county leads the state of New York in deaths, overdose deaths. And another situation in which, you know, you've had the dismantling of many a ring here. Still a lot of work to be done. We know about the dangerous drugs coming into play here. Fentanyl, carfentanil actually coming in. Even more potent than fentanyl. We know how potent fentanyl is. But in essence, this will be, as far as, you know, whoever holds this post going forward, it's going to be a big topic here.
You know, not only, and that's where we go back to the intelligence, because by the time they get to us inside the correctional setting, you know, they're either being detoxed or they're individuals who have been arrested for the transport or sale of these particular drugs. So gathering that information as to where we can get to the hierarchy and get the individuals who are really trying to put this on the street and hurt our young people and some, you know, in cases, older individuals, and really try to work to get them off the street.
There you go. Now, do you have that same belief also as far as task forces here, as far as not believing them as much regarding the drug situation, as you mentioned, in the gang stuff?
No, you know what, and, you know, just to make it very clear, task force are a great starting point. I was fortunate enough to come from a background where we were all working together in our own community. And with that own community, we're able to exchange information, whether it's about gangs, whether it's about drugs, or whether it's about anything that's going on inside the street. So sometimes a correctional setting can be a good focal point for gathering intelligence.
There you go, talking with Errol Toulon Jr. What about the a very hot topic these days, and we talk a lot about it with the gang situation, is holding patterns as far as the county is concerned regarding immigration and whatnot. This has been a lot of back and forth here. Sanctuary city, not a sanctuary city. It's been disclosed that Suffolk County is not. In essence, there has been a lot of discussion regarding laws that are in place, not really cemented yet. Kate's Law, sharing information, the registry, that type of thing. Where do you stand as far as all this is concerned with so much discussion regarding deportation, immigration, what to do with hardened criminals coming back into this country and whatnot? But it's a lot of conversation about this, obviously.
Well, you know, as a sheriff, I'm going to follow the letter of the law. And as far as hardened criminals, any hardened criminal that is undocumented will be turned over. You know, we will not stand for any hardened criminals walking the streets, because our goal is to make sure that these streets are safe. You know, when we look at these gangs, we look at the violence that's committed in these various communities,
yeah,
or particular communities. But a lot of people don't realize that these same individuals are walking in our malls, whether it's the Smith Haven Mall, Huntington Mall, Bayshore Mall. So we have to make sure that all of these individuals, you know, and, you know, we're focusing on, you know, immigration, but we can't lose sight, in fact, of the other gangs that are out there also that are committing these crimes. So anyone that commits crime is going to jail, and if they're undocumented, hardened criminals will be turned over.
There you go. So, you know, certainly a lot of discussion in these areas, and I'm just looking, you know, down the line as far as the training that you have had. Certified all through the Department of Homeland Security, Emergency Planning, right? Radiological Emergency Management, Incident Response to Terrorist Bombing. And let's face it, we have seen our incidents over the years. But, you know, it's all about not letting your guard down in these particular instances. We look at terrorist situations, Errol, all throughout the world here. And yes, you have the intelligence and everything else, but it really is, you know, the infrastructure as far as where you're present to be on top of it, to make sure people are safe in regards to any type of attack, correct?
Correct. And the thing that I'm looking at most as the sheriff of Suffolk County is ensuring that our correction officers and our deputy sheriffs not only have the proper training, the proper equipment, and also the proper technology to do their job to the best of their ability every single day.
In essence, that's just really preparation is key here as well. Also, you know, we mentioned as far as Errol's education, he has a master's degree in business administration from Dowling College. Sad to see what happened to Dowling there in the last year or so.
Yeah, very sad, but I take grace in the fact that it was a financial decision for the college closing, not a some poor academic performance. So I missed the school. It was one of the a great highlight, especially as an adult learner going back to school later in life. I enjoyed my studies and it was very rigorous.
And I could only imagine, but yes, some very interesting lines as far as your advancement there. So as you make your way into this political world, are you ready for the next 5 weeks or so of politics on Long Island can be contentious at times. We've seen some big time races in the past, and why not give me a little bit of the Toulon mindset as far as getting prepared for all of this stuff.
Well, I'm focused on the issues that are facing the correction officers, the issues that are facing the deputy sheriffs, the issue facing our public. I'm a very calm person by nature, but I'm not someone that's going to be pushed around either. You know, I think that if we stick to the issues, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors to point out other things that are going on out inside this race. But let's stick to the facts. Let's stick to the issues. Let's stick to the qualifications. I mean, clearly there was a theme during the primary of experience. And so I feel that I have the experience to run the sheriff's office that has approximately, I believe, $150 million budget. You know, my budget on Rikers Island was $1.4 billion. We have 10,000 employees on Rikers Island. You know, and I'm not looking to bring Rikers Island or New York City to Suffolk County, but what I am looking to do is bring the best practices and the things that I've learned as a senior administrator to the sheriff's office.
Talk to me a little bit about getting into the community. You know, we have seen unrest throughout our country in the past couple of years. It's escalated in many instances. In essence, how do you kind of tame that somewhat? If you were to lead this county and this department, are you a person who believes to really kind of get out there, make yourself known, get into the communities in around Long Island to see what's troubling residents? We have seen, as we mentioned prior in the conversation, gang activity in certain areas. Are you a person who really wants to kind of get into the fabric of the community and get to know what people are feeling? What would be kind of the mindset overall?
Well, absolutely. When I was the Assistant Deputy County Executive for Public Safety, I went into the communities, I talked to individuals, and I, in my brief screening with the deputy sheriffs and the correction officers, my goal is to bring some members from each different unit with me to various townhouse forums that I plan on hosting and asking the community what are their issues, what are their problems, because each one may have their unique individual problem, and see what we can do collectively. And there are going to be things that we're going to have to bring to the police department and say, listen, you know, these are the things that we were told, and we need some help. So it's not going to, you know, we'll take in all this information and decipher what could we do to assist the community. And then we would pass along to our law enforcement partners and say, listen, this is what we heard, and this is what we need you guys to do to help us out.
There you go. Remaining moments talking with Errol Toulon Jr. He's running for sheriff right here in Suffolk County. Errol, you're no stranger to what's been in the past as far as the sheriff's department, working with the police department, who's controlling the roads and whatnot. There's always been a lot of questions, county executive getting involved. There's contractual situations overall. It's still about the job, though. This other stuff, you know, hopefully takes care of itself. Is that what you kind of go into this whole thing and let things kind of take care of themselves in that regard? I mean, what's your overall feeling there?
So everybody has their own job responsibilities and duties, and I think that's where we have to fall. But I do think ultimately it's the public safety, and all of us, no matter what branch of law enforcement we are in, has to ensure that the public is safe. I'm someone that's a collaborator, someone that works with various law enforcement communities, have done that in the past. And I don't see an issue going forward in bringing this bond. I know there's been some contentious issues in the past, but it seems like it's been healing over the last few years. And I'm really looking forward to working with everyone.
All right. What do you want to say to the county before we let you go? And I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the next couple of weeks, obviously, as we gear towards the 7th of November. What's the message that Errol Toulon Jr. wants to kind of relay to the folks here in Suffolk County?
You know, I have 25 years of law enforcement experience, and I'm 25 years with the New York City Department of Correction. That's not an overall thing with the county. I've been a senior leader, an administrator, someone that builds bridges not only with the community but other law enforcement agencies, and I feel I'm the best candidate for sheriff.
Well done, sir. Great meeting you.
Thank you very much.
Errol Toulon Jr., ladies and gentlemen, he is vying for that very coveted position of Suffolk County Sheriff, and of course, all eyes on the general election come Tuesday, November the 7th.